Bob Wagner, when was this merger first proposed?
The idea of this merger has been in the works for a long time. We, as environmental organizations, we talk to each other quite frequently. And about a year ago, each of these three organizations underwent a leadership change. And it was at that time that we really started talking in earnest about a possible merger. And that has led us to more deeper discussions. We started exploring it more formally with a consultant guiding that process. And then in August, we kind of set off on a process to that's led us to today, where our members have voted to approve a merger.
Why now? What's the goal and why now?
Well, why now is because of the leadership changes makes it a little bit easier for us than in other times when we don't have that going on. It changes the dynamics of the organizations. And it's also it's time that as we look out and see the landscape of environmental organizations, the impact that each of the organizations has, the political situation, we see that there's it's a time that's ripe for opportunity for the organizations to expand, to build their constituency, to be able to have more impact on local issues as well as statewide and federal issues.
Robert Smith, what does your organization get out of this merger?
Well, the Jackson-Macon Conservation Alliance gains close contact with two organizations that are very much like us. We are in southern Jackson and Macon County, relatively isolated from contact with larger communities. But WNCA has had a branch office in Franklin, as a matter of fact, founded in Franklin, which is our county seat. So we have been aware of them, and it gives us an opportunity to get access to their professional staff, which in our small area we have only had an executive director working for us, and that's primarily been part-time work. And there are many issues that face our area as well as all of Western North Carolina where having access to professional staff is very important. We've been largely a volunteer-oriented organization, which is fine for getting some things done, but it doesn't have an impact that we would like to have in our area. So we're looking forward to that, open up many possibilities for us.
Katie Breckheimer, what's in this for your organization?
I agree with Robert quite a bit. But you know, the way I like to think about it is we're joining forces. As a small organization, it's often harder to look outside your realm of influence. And with ECO, based in Hendersonville, we've been doing a great job for a long time, but we see this merger as a way to work on a local, a regional, and a statewide level. And I think a lot of us who are looking towards Raleigh and what's going on with the environment around the state, we feel like we need to join forces and be a stronger voice for the environment.
Robert Smith, was your organization in danger of closing its doors? And this merger keeps it going.
Well, we were affected by the recession and some staff changes that happened during that time. Those were coincidental. They weren't really related to one another. But we made what we thought was a fairly strategic move. We serve the towns, the communities of Highlands of Cashers. You know, that's the basic structure of the area. And we moved from Highlands to Cashers. We were attracted to the Cashers area because they had a village council in operation, the Cashers Village Council. We didn't initially have a seat at that table, then we got one. And we felt like the kind of things they were doing to look at the sustainability of the environment in their area were right up our alley, and we could have a good partnership with them. So we moved to Cashers. And then all of a sudden, the village council went into a dormant state. So we were there without a partner. And we were trying to figure out where we were going to go from here. We had activities we'd been doing, but this was really something we were planning on working with the long term. And that may still happen. I mean, they say they're in dormancy, so we hope it does. But it was about that time that we became aware of the merger plans that ECO and WNCA were working on. And we got brought into that discussion and found we had a very nice fit. So that looked like the way for us to go for the time being.
Katie, same question. Was the ECO at risk of going out of business?
I wouldn't say out of business. We were also affected by the recession. The other option would have been to downsize a bit. But we all have always felt that our region needs a voice for the environment, and we weren't in jeopardy of going away.
Do you think there are cultural similarities or cultural differences between the three of you, the three organizations?
For us, all three of us, really, it's all about advocacy and stewardship. And our missions lined up and a lot of our work efforts. So, no, I don't see a lot of difference culturally.
Bob Wagner, do you think these three organizations are a good fit?
Absolutely. We're very excited about the merger. We just see lots of opportunity. In short, basically, we see the making the tent bigger and providing opportunities for us to have a stronger voice in areas that we haven't been as active before. By bringing people together, it's a unified voice to be able to speak with legislators, to let them know what the people's will is around the environment throughout our region. We're excited about having a greater capacity to be able to bring more members in, more people in, and to be able to be able to manage that in a more effective way. We think that there is a certain scale to any nonprofit's work, and by being a little bit bigger, it enables you to be able to do some of the functional things that you need to do as an organization, as a business, to stay afloat, to be able to do the programmatic things that you want to do effectively. And so bringing these three organizations together gives us greater efficiency and enables us to be more effective on the programmatic level.
It's not unusual for mergers to lead to layoffs or closing of offices, especially when we talk about banks. Is that the case here, that there'll be layoffs or offices will close when you merge two organizations into a third organization?
That's one of the things that we are so excited about and think is really cool about this merger, is that we're actually expanding and we will be building the organization. We will we'll continue to have the active office here in Asheville. We have an office where we don't have staff right now in Franklin, but we will be adding staff to that office to be able to support the work of JMCA that they've traditionally done, as well as the broader region and the far west counties. And we will have an office in Hendersonville, as well as up in Boone. And so with these four offices, we really see greater opportunity both for the organization to be effective, but also for people to be able to be a part of this process.
Robert Smith, representing Jackson and Macon County, what do you see as the top issue in the counties that you focus on?
Well, David, there are many issues, from water quality and water use to development in general. And I think those things need to be brought to the forefront in a very, very forceful way. Highlands, for example, is facing a problem with siltation of some of the streams in the area, and even Lake Sequoia, which is a lake formed to historically to provide hydroelectric power, but also as a on its tributaries a drinking water source. And the problem is that they're going to have to move the water intake to get away from the siltation that's occurred, and it's almost impossible to take care of that. So, you know, that's one issue that it would have been good to have been able to take care of a long time in the past, but we didn't. So what do we do now? And I think keeping that those kinds of issues in the forefront with decision makers will make them think about what they're doing with the future in mind, because clearly there's a lot of interest in our area of living there and so forth.
Major issue in Jackson County is the delay on amending or rewriting the steep slope development ordinance there.
Yes.
Is that of a primary concern to your organization?
Yes, ours and others. The complications of developing on slopes, just to provide somebody a view, is you know, a really sticky wicket for folks. Certainly, that increases the value of the land, but if it's not done right. And we looked at steep slopes in Macon County as well. We had a steep slope slide, which was very tragic, back about 10 years ago, later on this summer. And so if that's not looked at properly, engineered, there's just some places you can't develop. But the places you can't develop are so few. There's a steep hill in Franklin. And people would say, boy, that's a steep slope. It's 15% grade. The threshold was 35%. We're talking about a really steep slope. But on the other hand, you know, the other side of the issue is it's my property and I want to develop it. And so guidelines were given, and 40% would be the maximum. And you can just imagine what a 40% slope is. It is terribly steep. Maggie Valley's had similar problems with some failures there. So being able to address that out in the open and be a forceful advocate for saying, let's really take a good look at this, is a goal of ours.
Were you pleased that the decision to rewrite the ordinance was delayed until after November?
Yeah, it looked like it was, you know, going to be watered down. So I think a chance to take a look at it again is good. There was obviously there was a lot of momentum there, but it didn't look like it was going to carry. So, you know, hopefully stepping back from it again and going back at it again will be lead to a better ordinance.
What are the key issues in Henderson County?
Well, it wasn't too long ago we were on a real boom. We were the fastest growing county in Western North Carolina. And ECO was right there saying, wait, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. What we have here is so valuable. In fact, I'd like to just, you know, mention the Highlands Cashers area as being so biologically rich and diverse. And Henderson County and the surrounding area as well. You know, we've had a little respite from development from the last few years. But we really feel that our area is such a desirable place to live that a lot of people want to have the quality of life that we have here. And as the climate changes and you know, more severe storms, a drier, hotter environment perhaps, that we're going to be hosting more and more people. And land use planning is very key, and we need to be careful.
Okay, so we've heard from Jackson and Macon County, Henderson County. This new organization is going to be representing or focused on 23 counties. Is there agreement on what the focus should be when you look at 23 distinct counties?
Well, that's the beauty of an organization like ours, and to be able to have scale where you can actually do outreach on a number of different issues. And one of the things that I mentioned earlier that we're real excited about is local presence. And ECO, bringing ECO and JMCA and the Alliance together gives us a much stronger local presence in communities where we haven't been as active in the past. We've historically covered all 23 counties, but we've deferred to those organizations in those counties. And so by bringing them together, we will be able to more deeply focus on issues that are relevant to people in those areas. And the other thing that our mission is broad. Our mission is to empower people, average citizens, to be advocates for, one, vibrant communities, and that's where people live, and making great places to live, as well as the natural environment. So we are really focused on making Western North Carolina and keeping Western North Carolina a spectacular place where people want to live, where companies want to relocate. And too often we hear that there's this trade-off between the environment and the economy. And we just don't believe that that's true. We believe that in the long term, if we want to have economic vibrancy, then we have to have a strong and healthy environment.
Has the environmental movement lost its luster? Does it have as much clout today as it did, say, 10 years ago?
I would not say it's lost its luster really at all. I think that the recession really refocused people on a lot on the economy. And I think you could see the pendulum shift that way in terms of what people were concerned about, where they spent their time, their energies. And that just made sense. I think with the economy coming back, that pendulum has swung back, and people, particularly in this region, people are concerned. They love to fish, they love to hunt, they love to hike and be in the woods. They moved here because they love this place. And then let us not forget that we live in the most biodiverse region in the entire country. And we have very few regulations in Western North Carolina that actually protect this beautiful region. And we want to make sure that we keep this region as beautiful as it is today so people can continue to fish and to hunt and to hike in the future.
As you ask Bob about how we were all going to be designing our future together, and we're looking forward very quickly in the next few months to do long-range strategic planning. So we're all coming together and scratching our chins and our heads and figuring out as one organization where we're going to put our energies. And so, you know, that's coming up in the near future, and we're really looking forward to designing what we want to do and be. We're going to all drop our names. We're going to do a whole name change, new branding. So I think you're going to be hearing a lot from the new organization.
So this will mean a new name and a new logo for a new environmental organization.
That's right. We have contracted with a design firm to help us with the name change and logo remake. We've contracted with a strategic planning firm to help all three organizations go through a process to really re-engineer our focus. What we don't see changing is really what our mission is, because all three organizations have a strong mission that's very similar, and we will continue to be strong advocates for the environment in Western North Carolina. The areas that we focus on and how we operate and a lot of the internal pieces are things that we're looking at through this process. And so, David, we're very excited about the potential, what we see. I mean, even today, we've got a group that's down in Raleigh talking with legislators about coal ash. You hear the threat of fracking. The legislature passed a fracking bill in, I believe it was 10 days, and really did not allow a lot of dialogue or debate about it. So I think our understanding and feeling is that the public really doesn't know a whole lot about this and hasn't been able to weigh in on it. But there's the possibility of that coming to Western North Carolina. And so in a sense, it's for us, it's a little bit of back to the future. We as an organization started 32 years ago because there was a group of concerned citizens in Macon County that opposed the oil and gas exploration in the national forest there. And they saw how it was going to impact the things that were important to them. And with this, the potential of fracking, we once again know that people are going to be concerned. They know that they need to have representatives and people to help organize them. And there'll be other issues that come down the road in the future. And so we'll be in a much better position as one organization to be able to take this and address these issues in the future.
Bob Wagner is co-director of the Western North Carolina Alliance. Kate Breckheimer is with ECO in Henderson County, and Robert Smith is with Jackson-Macon Conservation Alliance, and they are in the midst of merging into a new organization as yet unnamed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, David.